Information.
I want to welcome all of you to the North Jersey Intergroup of OA. Our workshop is called Self-Forgiveness, a 12-Step Perspective, and we're going to have three wonderful speakers all speaking from their own experience, strength, and hope of how self-forgiveness helped them in their recovery. And I would like if we could all, you could all unmute and we'll say the serenity prayer together. All 63 of us.
Wow.
God.
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 Grant me the serenity.
What an amazing chorus, really. Thank you. So, Susan, could you please read the 12 steps?
Sure. One, my name is Susan. I'm a food addict, compulsive overeater. One, when many of you are powerless over food, that our lives have become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our life and our will over to the care of God as we understand him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we try to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs.
Thank you so much. And before we get started, I just wanted to mention that kind of the reason this workshop came into being is because for myself, when I'm working with sponsees, I've noticed that we're very hard on ourselves. And of course, it's usually easier to notice in someone else. And we tend to forgive everyone except ourselves. And I started looking into self-forgiveness in the 12 steps. And you find that certainly in step 8, they suggest that we may need to put ourselves on the top of our amends list. We have to be honest, but we also have to be kind to ourselves. And I always tell my sponsees, you need to be as kind to yourself and as compassionate to yourself as you are to someone you love dearly. And that's how this came about. And then I found these three wonderful speakers who are going to share their experience, strength, and hope with you. Our first speaker is Deanna. She is from, oh my God, New Mexico. I couldn't get that word out. New Mexico. She's from New Mexico. And Deanna, I turned it over to you.
Oh, I'm so lucky. Thank you.
Oh, how would you like to be timed? You have
sorry?
You have 20 minutes. How would you like your time?
Just give me 5 minute increments.
Five,
let me know.
Five, five, five.
Yeah. Okay. I need another serenity prayer. Sorry, guys. Having 80 of you on here is like, oh my God. So I'll just say it myself and you can say it in your space. God, grant me serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and wisdom to know the difference. Thy will, not mine, be done. May I say something? May your words help me to say something that would be helpful. Okay, I'm Deanna, compulsive overeater. Yeah, so wow, a lot of people on here. I'm trying not to be intimidated by that. I've been thinking for the last, oh, probably at least 5 days, really about what I wanted to say. And finally, I sat down probably about 2 hours ago and wrote out something. I'm not going to read wrote what I wrote. Does that make sense? Anyhow, I'm not going to read it word for word, but I had to put my thoughts down. And one of the biggest tools in my program is writing. And I was shocked when I was writing this. I ended up with like 6 pages. Well, it's big print, but I ended up with 6 pages of things to say. So you're in trouble now. I'll just say that. Self-forgiveness. This is a big topic, and it's something I really talk a lot with my sponsees about. And with myself about what my sponsor talks to me about. I have 12 years in program, and thankfully, all but the first 2 days that I was in program, I've been abstinent. Knock wood. Thank God for that. When I came into program, I was convinced that there was something fundamentally wrong with me. I had a moral failing, a mental weakness, something that was wrong with me because I could not stop eating. It just was in my, as part of my last binge. I had just retired from my corporate America job, and I ate something that was started off this big at my retirement party. They ate maybe a quarter of it, and within 24 hours of taking that home, I ate the rest of it, crying the whole time as I'm shoving it in my face. What is wrong with me? Why am I doing this? I can't. I can't. So, I always felt judged. And I took that judgment or that perceived judgment and integrated it, or what's the word? I put it into my own head and accepted it and started telling myself those judgments. And that was, I mean, that's what I knew. That's all I knew. The models that I had growing up, that's what they told me. You know, don't eat that. It's fattening. Don't, you know, you're fat. You're blah, blah, blah. All the garbage that was fed into my brain just continually kept feeding me and feeding my brain and feeding my self-perception. My last binge lasted from August 2011 till July 12 when I came in to program. And when I walked into the rooms, I heard what I needed to hear. Number one, that I was not alone. I was not perpetually unique. There were others that dealt the same way that I did with food. And there was a reason behind it. It wasn't my moral failing. And, you know, this may be controversial, but for me, it was comforting to understand that I have a disease and that it's not my fault. That was such a revelation because I'd always been told that I could control it if you just stop eating, right? And I got hope that there was a solution in that I could find it through this program. And I can say today that I have found, at least for me, that solution. It is working, thank God, one day at a time. So I thought what I would do is walk through the steps and let that be my inspiration. So what I learned in step one, when I walked in, I knew that I was powerless. I had tried my
That's fine.
entire, thank you. I had tried my entire life to control this disease. I can't tell you how many diets, how much exercise. I was an exercise bulimic for a time. Probably I was a laxative bulimic. I tried almost everything except throwing up. I couldn't do the throwing up. That wouldn't work for me. But I tried everything else, and it didn't help. Everything lasted 5 minutes, and then I was back in the food. That's just who I was. Even doing recreational drugs, that helped for a while, but as soon as I stopped, guess what? I had to eat again. So I knew that was not going to work, and I knew I was completely demoralized and helpless at that point. So in step two, what I heard in the rooms that you had to rely on a power greater than yourself, and a lot of people called it God. I use the term God as a shortcut myself, but mostly I refer to a higher power because my higher power had takes many, 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 many forms. But when I walked in, I had already been in a spiritual program that I thought I totally understood, and it what I found here in the rooms is an explanation of that spiritual program, and it made it make a lot more sense. It actually helped me to live that spiritual program. Before, it was just in like an intellectual kind of exercise. So that was really, really a good thing. And either way, in my arrogance, I figured I had this God thing licked. No problem. It's all taken care of. Well, I had a lot more to learn. Step three. I learned not only do I have to believe, but I have to rely on my higher power. Before, I never considered ever that God or higher power would have any inkling or care about what I did with food. That was not a spiritual thing. I didn't know what that was. And what I learned here from you guys and from my sponsor, that yeah, God does care. God cares about every part of me, up and down and sideways and inside out. And yeah, it's a two-way street, you know? It's not just me trudging along. Jumping along. Let's see. Step four. Doing my first inventory is where I really learned that I was not the horrible person that I believed I was. Because I just knew that there was some serious moral failing on my part. I also learned how much deep anger and embarrassment and shame I carried around with me on a daily basis. I was such a seething, angry person inside. Even for all my spiritual practices, I still had this underlying F the world. And it just, you know, I couldn't get rid of it. But then doing my inventory, step five, sharing my inventory with my sponsor, who showed me unconditional love, support, and caring, and helped me see that I was not terminally unique, that there was such a thing as unconditional love, and I could trust her. That was something I couldn't trust anybody, not even my husband, when I walked in this program, not to that level, that intimate level. And it was just a revelation to me that, oh, not everybody is mean and hurtful and judgmental. I can trust people, and there are people who can love me. And that grew over time. I also learned that I could be honest with myself and someone else, and I wouldn't be mortally struck down. What a concept. Moving on to steps six and seven, and I know it's not the greatest thing to combine them, but for me, they work together for sure. From my inventory, I could see where my part was and could start working on trying to change my actions and reactions to life.
That's another five.
Thank you. I saw my patterns, and while I wanted to change, it took a long time for me to understand how to chip away at them. I distinctly remember when I said the seventh step prayer and was down on my knees with my sponsor thinking, okay, I got this licked now. My defects are all just going to poof, dematerialize and go away. It's all going to be good. Yay, I'm saved. Well, sad to say, the next morning I woke up and it's like, oh, they're still there. Wah. So it was quite the revelation. But what I can say is that while my defects are not fully removed, I can definitely see where working this program over time has shaved off those sharp edges and maybe worn down some of those defects, and they're not as prominent. And I feel like I'm becoming a finer piece of art that, you know, getting all those rough edges off. And they are better. My defects of character are better. Are they perfect? Heck no. I'd say something worse than that, but I won't in this big crowd. But it's, you know, they're definitely still there. But even my husband remarked just a couple of weeks ago that I have made so much progress, and he really appreciates it. And he can see the work that I have done. And unfortunately, he's always the first one to be the victim of my character defects. So I'm really glad that I got that feedback from him, because that was encouraging. And I know I'm not talking specifically about self-forgiveness at this moment, but that contributes to my self-forgiveness and allowing me to show myself grace. If he can see it, then why can't I show it to myself, right? So let me keep going here. Steps 8 and 9, I'm going to combine those two. So I'll be honest with you. I didn't have a lot of amends to make to people. My husband, yes, daily, practically, yes. But, you know, other than that, I really, because I was so insecure and so needed approval from outside of me, I was always afraid of offending anybody else or doing anything where people would be mad at me or not like me. I needed that outside approval. So because of that, I tiptoed through life, and thus the resentments, thus the anger that I was holding down because I wasn't being my authentic self. But I'll come back to that. So I thought, okay, I made an amends to my husband, no problem. And then my sponsor said, what about you? What about me? She said, well, you are the first person that needs to apologize, or not apologize, but make amends to yourself. And she really just drills this into me, not as much anymore, but at the beginning, she really drilled it into me. And I drilled this into my sponsees as well. I have to forgive myself in order to be able to treat others with respect and have grace and forgiveness for others. And that's a really important factor for me. But I didn't understand the self-forgiveness at first, because everything that had been modeled for me was, you know, beating me over the head with the hammer. You're not good enough. You need to do better. You need. So
that's the last five. Okay.
Oh yep. Dear.
Five,
okay.
No, five more.
Okay. So anyhow, it's a process that I really worked hard on to find that forgiveness and continue on a daily basis. I was the worst critic of myself, the way I talked to myself. I would never, ever talk to anybody else the way I talked to myself. And nowadays, when I do that knee jerk, hey, you know, that was stupid, I stop myself and I say, nope, I made a mistake. It's okay to make a mistake. One of the other things I learned in the amends process, actually 4 through 9, is taking responsibility for myself and my actions, that I couldn't be a victim anymore. And that I learned that my actions contribute to how people treat me. and this was in line with my spiritual practices, that say that what I say and do will be returned to me directly. I'll be honest with you, there's one amends I do owe that I have not been able to do yet, and I probably will never be able to do directly in person, and that's to my mother. We've had a various, well, we're estranged, but I know I need to do it for my healing and my self-forgiveness. And it's my plan when I get the willingness to write a letter and then go up to the top of the mountain and read it out loud so that it goes out into the ethers and hopefully it will reach her in some way or another. But it's taken me years to get to a place of compassion for her rather than anger and resentment. And I'm almost at forgiveness, but I've got a ways to go yet on that. Which leads me to step 10. Today I use step 10 as a tool for accountability to myself, to others, and to my higher power. And this accountability process is no longer a way for me to, well, it's not a way for me to beat myself up. It's a way for me to stay honest and accountable. Accountable is a big word in my program. I need to be accountable to you. I need to be accountable to me. I need to be accountable to my sponsor, and I have to be accountable to my higher power. So I do a nightly inventory where I consider it that like brain dump of the day before I go to sleep at night, and then I can sleep better. I was going to tell you what I do, but if you're interested, I'll put my email in later and I'll share with you how I do my 10th step. Let's see what else. Ultimately, I find that that 10th step at night and doing that brain dump is the most effective way for me to sit and do my journaling, because I'm a little ADD. I can't just sit and write unless my sponsor's there saying write. But I have sometimes when I'm doing that 10th step writing at night when things will come up, and as I'm writing, I'm like, oh, I didn't even think about that. So it's, you know, I get those paparazzi moments, I call them. But it's really helpful. And I make all my sponsees do it too. And whether they like me for it or not, in the end, they've all said, yeah, I think it's helpful. So step 11, again, honesty. I'm super challenged to sit and do meditation at this point, which is really ironic for my spiritual practice. But I feel like I keep a phone line open to my higher power, and I'm constantly listening and looking for messages from my higher power. When I hear something three times, I know I better open my ears, close my mouth, and listen to what is being said to me. And when I don't,
one more minute.
Thank you. And when I don't, it's a very painful process. So I know I have to let go. Step 12, really quickly, in my very short minute, I sponsor four gals now, and I learn every day from them what I need to be learning for myself. Some of the things that come out of my mouth as I call it streaming, what higher power is telling me to say to them. It's like, oh, where did that come from? Okay. And it's obviously a message that I need to hear. I do service in my inner group. Secretary a couple of meetings, and you know, I look at my work as a spiritual practice as well, where I'm hoping that what I do is helpful to others. Let's see. So how does self-forgiveness factor into all of this? I couldn't do any of this if I had not forgiven myself. For the harms I did to me, not just physically, emotionally, and spiritually. And today I accept and give myself more grace than I have ever done before. I actually like who I am now.
Time.
Who would have thought that? And my time is up. But all right, so I'll just end with this is a process. And, just like with diets, I came in here thinking, oh, 1 week and I'll be fixed. And, 12 years later, I'm doing better. The promises have been coming true in my life, but I've still got a lot of growth to do. And with that, if you want to reach out to me, I'm happy to talk to you, and I will put my information in the chat. Thank you, and sorry for running over.